My name is G. Barnes. The title of this session is Writing Art Out of Memory. It's a creative writing workshop. Thank you. Let's see. First of all, let's just go around and kind of shake hands. I don't think this is going to, you know, cause any cosmic cosmic thing to happen, or we won't become one with the coffee table or anything, but just, it's kind of nice to be welcoming and welcomed. We're going to do three different workshops this week. I'm going to do them, whether or not you are. I'm doing three of them. And they're today, tomorrow, and the next day, and they're at staggered times and in staggered rooms, and I'll probably be staggering too by the time we
What is the time on Saturday?
10:30.
That one's at 10:30? Okay, so tomorrow's at 3:45, and the next day is at 10:30 again. So we're trying to kind of, well, we try with all the teaching staff to get them at different times so that different people can, you know. So I'm glad you're here, and this is an absolutely perfect number, and you know right away that I'm not disappointed that there's not 50 of you. If there were one of you, that'd be fine. If there were none of you, let's sit here and read for an hour. So we're okay. And then let me assure you right away that how many of you have been in writing workshops before? I think okay, some, yes. I want to assure you right away that you will be doing some writing in here. We'll also be doing some discussing about writing and all things kind of attached to writing. Reading and talking and listening and just the whole world of words. And stuff that you write, we may from time to time ask if you want to share with us, but you don't have to ever, okay? So know that. There may be, I remember now that sometimes when we do some exercises or a little chunk of writing, there may be a time when I'll need to come by and just scan and see about how much you've got, because especially in writing, but I won't be able to see it, and how you'll know that if I'm wearing these glasses or none, I won't be able to see the content, I'll just be able to see the body of, you know, the block of stuff. If I'm wearing the gold glasses, then I could read it. So this is one of those times when it's handy to be handicapped. So I can choose how I want to see, a variety of different ways of seeing. And you know, this is, I would hope, I mean, I think when we engage art, then we ought to feel, you know, comfortable with it, one another, and all that kind of stuff. And maybe we could do just a first name for everybody so we can set, you know, so if we want to direct our comments to someone, we don't have to say, hey, you, or hey, lady, or something. And so let's just fire around and do that. I'm G. Barnes, and then let's go back.
Teak Kilmer. Good.
Do you want first and last?
You can if you like.
Joanne Kilmer.
Great. Mickey.
Sherry Landrude.
Sherry
Landrude.
And I'm Diane Shiner.
The last one?
Shiner isn't black.
Shiner.
Cool. Great. Let me ask the question, if anybody brought a piece of writing that they want to work on during this time. Okay. And certainly if you generate anything between now and tomorrow or now and Saturday, and if you get back and so on, you want to, you know, work on that, or ask whoever makes up the group configuration at that time, if in fact there's a group, or if you want to ask me, you know, sort of to interchange with you about that, or the group to interchange with you about that. So if anything you generate, you know, you can bring along. I'm happy if you do. I'm happy doing anything. Everything we could do in here, I think, is tending to business. So I've put some stuff up here, and these are just some things that I grabbed up. And from time to time, I'll probably grab something and read a little something from it, or commend a book to you, or, you know, whatever. I think what we probably could do as a beginning would just be to sort of get right on it with writing itself, and then talk about writing and stuff a little after we've done a little bit of stuff. And so I'll be writing too, and it's not really fair, you know, I'm not writing, or I don't feel that way about it. Oh, I'm not an arbiter of taste or anything, and so, you know, if you share something and want me to say whether it's good or bad, I'm not happy talking that way. I don't think that's, you know, I'm a person who's written a certain amount and published at a certain level, and that is certainly not so on. You are too, and so wherever it is that you are now, I'm happy with that. And if you're unhappy about it, well, then you can say, well, I'm not crazy about this piece, but here it is for what it's worth, and so on. But we're not going to talk really about, you know, my making you into my kind of writer or anything. And for that matter, we're not going to confine ourselves to poetry. You know, just we're just writers. Okay, now my belief is that there's kind of, you know, three stages that we could think about in terms of, you know, how to begin. And for me, a lot of my work as a poet is the work of discovering metaphor, and one of the ways that I live that out when I'm not writing is in talking. I tend to work by analogy a lot. And so to use kind of an analogy from sports, say, you know, before you actually do the thing, you've got to warm up a bit, you know, to stretch the muscles and so on. And so I'd invite you to just think for a moment about your, you know, your brain being a big old muscle, and it's got some chemical electrical charges. They move around when you're really cooking, and I think about 180,000 miles a second. Your brain with that big.
And when you're not cooking?
And when you're not cooking, somewhat, you know, it's probably down around 90,000 words a second, you know. So we'll try to kind of get charging is what we'll do as a warm-up thing. And we, you know, in my own warm-ups, I have little devices that I do to kind of get myself, you know, get the boiler going. And so we'll just kind of rely on some of those. If you've got some suggestions, that's good too. We won't have time to do very many of them, because then after we warm up, then we write. And then after, and I'll talk about that when we get there, and then after we write, we fix up. We won't get it fixed up completely today, but, and that's called a lot of different things and a lot of different writing texts and books on writing for adults and so on and so on. But that's how I talk about it. Warm up, write, fix up. I'm in favor of the plainest kind of speech we can have. I'm happy with big words, but if little words will do, I'm happy with those too. I'm happier with them. So to warm up, I'll suggest that we kind of start this way. We're writing by the pound. We're writing kind of stream of conscious. We're writing, we're just, you know, trying to get cooking. And what I'll do is I'll actually time this. And for some of this, I won't be able to really write as much with you as I will during the writing chunk. But here's how it works. There are lots of different, you know, warm-up devices. And so what I'll do is just show you a couple of those, and then we'll get going. One of them is that, I mean, you know, we're all people who in some way have an attraction for words, or we wouldn't be in here. You know, people like us have you know, kind of favorite words that just for what, you know, might be for their associative value, or just you like the music of it or whatever. So I'm going to pitch out some words, and I want you to just do, it doesn't have to be sentences, this is not a composition, this is a warm-up, okay? Pretty sloppy. You don't get prizes for your Palmer method of handwriting or anything. You know, and I also mean pretty sloppy in terms of it could be sentences, fragments, lists, you know, any way that comes out of you. And what we'll do on the first one is we'll go for 60 seconds. We'll see how much we can generate in 60 seconds out of a given word. And then I'm going to cut you back to 45, but we hope to generate about the same amount of material. And then I'll cut you back to 30 seconds. We'll see if we can generate about the same amount. If we had time to keep going, we would do that down to 15. You know? So here we go. Let's see, what favorite word do I want to... Oh, let's try... I'll tell you when to start here, because I'm serious about this. We just got to put ourselves, you know, in the pressure cooker. Yeah, let's use the word banjo, the musical instrument, B-A-N-J-O. Go. Continue stopping. Stop. Okay, can you just hold up what you've got there, and I'll take my glasses off, and we'll just kind of see about how much material we got. Good, good, good. Okay, it's over there. All right, this is over here. Bingo, bingo. Good. And there's mine. I wasn't writing all the time, but... and so, yeah, maybe there'll be something in there that'll be workable for you to use sometime, and more. Under other circumstances, in case you're doing one of these workshops one time and you're trying to facilitate the thing and you want to do this, it's kind of good sometimes to read these aloud, but right now we don't have to, and we won't have time to. I like a workshop that's about 2 hours long myself, a little bit breaks in, some time to talk and walk around. I also like workshops to be outside, but anyway. Okay, this will be 45 seconds. I don't want to talk too much between. Let's see. Oh, let's try the word wooden, W-O-O-D-E-N. Am I starting to write the word?
Have you started counting?
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Go. Continue stopping. Okay, that's it. 30 seconds on this one. What should we say? Oh, wow. Let's try mustache. Okay, ready? Go. Stop. Okay. Take a couple of really good deep breaths. Don't just remember to breathe, it's almost good. Welcome. Oh, say your name to everybody.
Oh, I'm Megan.
Okay, everybody say your name to her.
Time.
No, all at the same time. Go.
Megan.
Okay, you got it.
Did you hear a God when it was all mixed together?
Yeah.
And welcome. And so then, do you want something to write with and something to write on? Or
if you have something.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. If I can remember where I put the paper.
I have.
Is it under your paper?
Oh,
here,
just
take
one.
Yeah. Pencils. Oh, I have a stack of tan paper. Oh, I put it in here.
Silly me. It's a right brain for its entire job.
Okay, so there's some warming up, you know, and you're not warmed up, but we're going to just keep rolling, and we're not going to stop and backtrack and so on. And we're sorry. Okay, so then for a writing idea, let's try a couple of those. And what we mean to do during this phase is to generate, it'd be nice if we had time to generate three or four or five, you know, beginnings like this, rough cuts, first impressions, etc. So that we could, you know, have enough stuff to pull one of and say, well, you know, this is the one that I want to work with, or, you know, because not everything is for everybody. But we won't have time to do all that. Maybe so we'll just do a couple and hope that we get, you know, that we could choose one or the other to do some work on. Trust yourself to, again, this is sentence fragments, sentences. You can, you know, stream of consciousness, the thing. You can make lists. You can do beliefs, association. You can do any way you want to. But the trick is to keep writing for the whole time. And the whole time in this case will be 6 minutes, okay? And if you get stuck, if I happen to catch that nearly everybody is stuck, I may say something, you know, and just let the word hit you. And if you're already, if you're the person who's still cooking, keep cooking, ignore me. That's, you can do that, I know it. So. But I'll try not to say anything, but the main thing is try to keep the pencil on the paper, try to keep going. And for goodness sakes, if I hear erasures, you know, just throw you out the window and I won't even bother to open the window. So, you know, this is not the time for, you know, just keep going, keep pushing. Let's see, let's try one that's a pretty good one. We're reluctant learners. Let's try... the phrase just to start with, and if this works for you, to, you know, fine, and if it doesn't, go wherever it goes for your association. Let's start with the phrase, I cannot write today because, and build your case or make your list or whatever. Okay, we've got 6 minutes to do that.
Can we start now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So that's one, and then today we're going to be thinking about talking about using memory a bit, so I want to kind of set you up for this, and we'll write again for about pass this time. There is something that is, there is something to the notion of writer's block, but I don't prefer to sort of continue to actively feel that way about the process of writing. I mean, I don't want to encourage myself to go off and think that I have writer's block. It's lasted for a week, it's lasted for a month, oh, I'm 17 years into writer's block. Sure, there are a lot of things that can kind of that can cause us to jam down and not really, you know, get to writing. But because we have memory, I think there's always material to work with. I mean, we have, I mean, if we think about what the brain looks like when you are born, the brain has several thousand wrinkles in it, say, the convolutions of the brain. And it has those because, you know, as a fetus, you were already learning some stuff. And the reason for the wrinkles is that you actually develop a wrinkle when you learn something. That's why people used to say this, but I notice it's fallen out of fashion. People used to say, well, that's a new wrinkle. Mm-hmm. You know, news to me is what they mean. And it happens. And we cannot save ourselves. I mean, biologically we can't say, you know, physiologically we can't say, I forgot. I mean, doesn't that kind of infer that the wrinkle kind of pops out and it gets smooth right there? You know? And so physiologically it really doesn't happen. I mean, and in my case, to have sort of responsible way, I mean, I think that's a way for me to let myself off the hook. Oh, yeah, well, excuse me, I forgot. You know, like it's beyond my control. But, you know, I would rather say, you know, I didn't remember to. You know, I neglected to remember, if I want to be pretty straightforward with myself and with you. I like Mark Twain's notion, and this may have been in, you know, a lot of use in the 19th century, but the phrase, the word, I disremember. It means it's kind of misplaced, you know, disremember, you know. And you know, by now, of course, we have a bazillion wrinkles in there and lots of bits of information, and, you know, and we're only now uncovering some of the really emerging stuff, and we've got so much to learn about just how the brain itself works. And by the way, the reason I had to take some deep breaths is because you need three things to have a fire. You know, scouts can remember that. You need fuel, right, heat, and oxygen, you know, and your brain is a very, very, it's a slave driver in terms of its need for oxygen. It's crazy about this stuff. And so keep remembering to, you know, take good, deep, rich breaths to oxygenate the brain and stuff, and then the heat, okay, is another matter. We've tried to sort of get hot, hoping not cool them off while I'm chatting here. And then also, you know, the fuel, of course, is our memory, our words, our, you know, blah, 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 blah. So we've got to sort of make a fire in there. Let's get with it. In this one, just jot down the word, the phrase, I remember, and then help yourself. There are other words to remember, and you can make lists of sentences. You can again, handle this any way you want to. You can think of it as, I mean, as you generate things, you begin to say, well, I think I'm having a memory and it's generating this. Or you can skip about with memories, let one memory pop up with another one, or stick with one if it gets good, you know, and you think, wow, this is it. And so roll with that. But there, no, nobody's here to stop you having a memory or 50 of them in 5 minutes, okay? And they can be things like, I mean, if you come to a stop, you think, gosh, I'm not remembering anything profound that happened to me when I was six, you know, that shaped and warped my life. You know, so then remember breakfast, okay, or remember the, you know, why you chose the socks you put on this morning, or anything, you know, but just keep writing, always keep writing. And again, the sentences, fragments, speech association lists, any way you want to cook it, okay? So the ingredients are yours. Questions about what's wanted. Okay. Oh, that's great. Ready? Go. Okay. Wind it up. I mean, you need to scribble down some words or jot down some initials of what's going on in your head right now. Good. Take some good deep breaths. In fact, you might stand up and stretch. Around low, feel free. Don't leave. You can do this with high schoolers. I can't say that. Don't leave. We're not done yet. Side there. We'll get back to it in a moment. Enough of this fun. Let's go back to work. I'm a hard taskmaster, but it's, they only gave me an hour, so I can't get over it. This is a remarkable poem. This man is a remarkable man. He's from Wales, was educated in Wales and England. Was in the Royal Air Force. I've known him for 12 or 13 years. At the age of probably 76, I guess now, he still has absolutely perfect vision, better than 20/20. Uses no spectacles at all, ever. He is a genuine man of letters. Oh, I'll show you his photograph. This is a few years old, but not too bad. Leslie Norris is his name. He and his wife Kitty now live in America. He's a university professor. He was the second person to hold the Theodore Retke chair at the University of Washington when that was created a bunch of years ago. And he writes poetry, and he writes work for children, and he writes short stories, and he does translations both from Gaelic and from Norwegian. And he writes essays, and he writes criticism, and you know, he's just busy fellow. But I brought along from him this morning a book called Sequences, and that's from the publisher Gibbs M. Smith. So if you want to locate that, I'm sure you can. It's kind of staged in print because they have to keep printing it. This poem is called Hudson's Geese, and here's the look of it on the page. I think you'll find that it has a very direct style. Now somebody said, and I'm going to quarrel with him a little, that poets are either singers or talkers. Mm-hmm. I think Richard Shelton said that. But I think Leslie's probably a singer and a talker. You know, by talker I mean plain speech. By singer I mean, you know, headed over into some other kind of, you know, the musicality of words and so on. Being Welsh, of course, he's a terrific talker, and he also sings. Okay. So this is called Hudson Geese. It begins with a little epilogue here, an epigraph, and it says, I have from time to time related some incident of my boyhood, and these are contained in various chapters in The Naturalist in La Plata, Birds and Man, Adventures Among Birds. That's from W.H. Hudson in Far Away and Long Ago. Hudson tells us of them, the two migrating geese, she hurt in the wing, indomitably walking the length of a continent, and he wheeling above, calling his distress. They could not have lived. Already I see her wing scraped past the bone as she drags it through rubble. A fox, maybe, took her in his snap jaws. And what would he do? The point of his circling gone. The wilderness of his cry falling through an air turned instantly to winter would warn the guns of him. If a fowler dropped him, let it have been quick. Pellets hitting brain and heart, so his weight came down senseless, and nothing but his body to enter the dog's mouth. Heavy on images. Written in another format, it's a paragraph. It's a highly narrative piece. It's a story, in other words. The use of language is a bit elevated from that, and you have some wonderful internal rhyme within a line. You have some wonderful diagonal rhyme. You have other musicalities, that are there. Alliteration, et cetera, et cetera, all the things you remember from the seventh grade when you hated this stuff. And me too. I hated what they did with it in school, but I was living in little tiny towns and people didn't care much for poetry, I guess, and the teachers didn't. Most of them were fearful of it. And of course, the geese mate for life. I wish you could meet Leslie and Kitty. This poem is about them. I mean, it's obvious to me, They're one of those pairs of people that are sort of like a salt and pepper shaker set. If you remember the old novelty salt and pepper shakers, they're kind of goofy, two windmills, two outhouses, all that kind of 50s, and now they're all worth a gazillion dollars, and now the seal used to have 30,000 of them, I'm sure. But, these people are absolutely matched, absolutely wed. They're elderly, they've been married many, many years, they knew one another from kindergarten. So they are these geese. Now, what am I suggesting by that? Well, sometimes we can just say, I'm writing this poem and it has to do with my wife and me. And the way in which we are wedded. Let me use this analogy. When I learned how to weld so I could make sculpture, I come from a long line of blacksmiths and welders on down. And I had thought as a young boy watching my granddad fix farm machinery that you were welding and then this little stick of stuff that you had that looked kind of like a punk that you light firecrackers with, you kind of were gluing it together, but that's not true. Actually, you're heating up the two metals. I'm talking about an acetylene torch here. Side to side, and then they flow, and then at a little place where it's not quite flowing, you're just tapping that in there, And so what you're doing is you're marrying these two pieces of metal. They actually become one piece of metal. You can still see the seam, but you can grind that on down, and you've got one piece of metal. And so you could write that kind of poem, or I could, or a story or whatever, to address this. This is about my spouse and me, etc. Or, and when I use the phrase elevated language, metaphor, this poem having to do with a couple of imagined geese, does a pretty good job, I think, of working with that same subject and treating that and handling that in a way that sort of has a sort of sideways look at things. I'm looking at you, but I'm also seeing over here. So that's a matter of memory, a matter of lived experience, a matter of highly charged feeling, and so on. All right, let's get back to what you were writing there. Does anybody have anything? Let's do it this way. It's good. We'll take it by the numbers. Look down at either piece of writing, either the piece that began ridiculously, I cannot write today because, or the piece that began I remember. You'll just have a feeling about one or the other of them. It would be the better one to nest with here. And kind of scan through that. Kind of squinching your eyes a bit and locate some stuff that smells interesting. You know, are there a few words there or something? And mark them. You know, if you've got a chunk that you want to draw a box around, or pick an asterisk beside, or as you're underlining it, you decide you're going to change the verb to something else, and so on, that's great. So just take kind of about a minute to kind of tinker with it. Draw lines too far, but whatever. Now we'll just have time for about a minute of this kind of stuff, but I want you to get a feel for it rather than me just talking about it. Grab something out of there, the beginning again, or something that you've marked that you say, well, actually, I didn't really like much of this until I got down to about 14 lines here, and then it began to do something for me. So if that's the case, whatever the case is, pull that out and over, you know, beside it, start with whatever seems good to you and write from that. And push yourself and see how much you can get done in 1 minute. Go. Okay, now let's see if we want to have some other voices sound in the room. Is there anything you can read from anything? You can read from either the first chunk or the second chunk that you dust down, or if you don't want to read from it, do you want to remark about the process itself or any surprises that happened, or how lame you think this whole thing is, or whatever. So I want to stop talking for a couple of minutes and see what you have to say. And there's no pressure.
Well, I like doing that. I cannot write today because I didn't kind of like what I got in.
Okay, well, do you want to say some of it or read some of it?
Maybe, okay.
I mean, you don't have to.
I will.
Okay, good.
I cannot write today because the sun is too bright and the sky is too blue. The mountains are calling my name as the wind blows the alder leaves, I think. The creek is cold on my feet, and I know the fish are just waiting for me. I cannot write today because my weaving is unfinished on the loom. The clay I so lovingly turned into pots is coming out of the kiln soon, and I'm anxious to see if I still love them. I cannot write today because my mother's voice says I'm not good with words. My husband doesn't like what I write. My friends sometimes say my writing is a waste of time. Not my true friends, though. I cannot write today because my thoughts are too jumbled. I get my feelings mixed with shoulds and should nots. I am too happy to write profoundly. I'm afraid I will bear too much of myself. I cannot write today because I'm afraid. I don't want anyone to read my carefully chosen words and find them lacking. I don't want to remember yesterday and relive the pain.
Thank you for sharing. And
I think I used some of the same words.
Really? You had some of the same sort of responses?
Yeah. I cannot write today because all the spaces between my memory are crowded with fragments of lists of have-tos, shoulds, and becauses. Uh-huh. So I scrub the toilet and sanitize the shower back in the hallway and give all of this my full attention. It's my day off, mind you. I try in between to remember what I was thinking of last night when I felt so wonderful and young. But all that comes to me in the form of bloating and my finger being too puffy for my wedding ring is how many Doritos and brownies I ate and how fast. I scrub harder and tried to press out a stain that must have been in the sink for years.
Thanks. That's a whole different, you know, it's a whole different response, a whole different mind, a whole different, this is a different moment, you know, for these two people. Anybody else have something?
I'd like to do that. I remember.
Okay.
Some good stuff came up for me in the shorter ones, too.
That sometimes happens, actually, that something the piece of writing actually comes out of a warm-up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens. Mm-hmm.
This is out of the I Remember moments. Right at the end, and I realized something. I remember my dog when I was a boy and sadness, and watching her being funny when she dreamed and kicked and ran, and how I liked to use her as a pillow, and how personally I took it when she was in a dog fight. And two other dogs, with two other dogs, I can't read my own printing. And a dog fight with two other dogs, and I felt victim too, and strengthless. And I'm still afraid today that life will come again and tear my flesh. Sarcasm, oh, where did I go with this? I don't know. Sarcasm, my life into a quaking, winded ant, and wanting to crawl into my roots and even deeper beyond myself and into the earth womb. And then it stopped.
Okay, thanks. There's some nice stuff in there, to my view, and as I feel at this moment. The reason I heard myself modify that, and then I also felt that my face had a cast that went past it, and the reason that happened was because I started to sort of make a pronouncement. Did you hear me? There's some nice stuff in there, but then I immediately sort of retracted that, because that's just me talking. You know, I'm not the arbiter, I'm not the judge, I'm not the editor of this stuff, and I'm not going to reject or, you know, accept or anything. I just am going to encourage, you know, and for me right now, today, this exact second, right in here, with the company I'm keeping, you know, I'm happy. Anybody else have something very quickly? Please.
My parents had a ma and pa grocery store. And we lived in this, connected to the store as I was growing up. So these are just some random kind of thoughts of my memories as a very young child of the store. White pull-out drawer with last names on the books, all alpha. A cash register, green and black, that made two different sounds when you used it. A clinking from the round button keys that looked like they'd come from Grandma Shark's button collection. And the silver lever that clashed when you pulled it too hard. Darlene with a yellow tube pencil on her ear. Sacks of shelled peanuts piled high with a gray plastic mouse hidden therein, my dad's sense of humor. Otto, dusting with a gray feathered brush with a red handle, chipped and bare where his hands had left an imprint. Jack, stacking number three coffee cans in the basement. At Christmas, hard candy being bagged in number one plastic bags. Remnants of ribbon candy, the pieces and shavings at the bottom of the box. I got to eat them. Angel candy, sweet, foaming, would melt in your mouth, covered with bitter sweet chocolate glaze. I'd love a piece now. Fresh fish that came from Seattle, a novelty for a small town. The snowboy truck, vinegar vats, herring buckets, blue cheese, a smelly knife. Who would eat that stuff anyway?
Wow. Okay. How are you feeling with that? So I was doing a little body reading there, and where are you?
It was so visual.
Yeah, are you in the store?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
So specific.
It was just, I guess it tugged at some old memories of mine of going into stores, but it just was so, the language was so clear and so descriptive.
And how many senses do we have, not counting imagination and extrasensory?
Five.
Five issues, the typical. And can you think of any of those that weren't addressed?
No.
Can anybody? Mm-hmm. Remember the ones that were?
Taste.
Smell.
Smell.
Taste.
Sound.
Sound.
Touch.
Touch.
That's the vibe.
Sight. Okay, yeah. We got, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking about doing this for my parents' wedding anniversary.
Oh, gee, we as well, yeah. Yeah. You know, you know, I think this is a batch of people who wants to be, you know, recommending that you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and yourself, you've got something there? Or? But you don't have to, but if you want to.
Well, I'd kind of like to.
No question.
But it
no
turned out to be two things, sort of in one. I cannot write today because I will not write today because I should not write. Perhaps I'll bite and I just might say something stupid, mean or meaningless, shallow or depraved that I would like to take back off the paper, retrieve it from existence and slough it into murky memory where estrogen and lack thereof shall bury it forever. Mm-hmm. I cannot write today because they have bought me a cow and I must feed or squeeze it, warm, smelly, silky tits, squirting milk. The heaviness of words might distance the experience of milking and push it into murky, marshy memory too. But could words retrieve the memory and give me milk fresh from the cow again?
I heard that one. Anybody have a remark to make or a quick interchange?
I can relate to the estrogen and
the feeling somebody might come up with that.
I really felt it too when you're squeezing the teeth. It's like I did it only once in my life and I remembered it because of the way you described it. And I thought about being in nature and with, you know, in a touching situation with an animal, and to do that on your job sounds very pleasant, you know.
It reminds me of a song called I Cannot Come. It's a biblical song, a children's song. I cannot come to the wedding. Oh. Don't tear me now. My, you know, something, I bought me a cow.
Right.
So when you got into the cow, I thought of it. Oh. I have bills and commitments that cost a
few pounds. Oh, right.
Pray, so, tell me, I cannot come.
Too much to do, I can't buy. And, John, do you have anything? Or?
Well, I can. I mean, it was so poetic and beautiful, and I wrote about having to go to the bathroom. So, well, let's see. I remember as a child, I was highly emotional and would totally throw myself into whatever I was doing, particularly there was a time when I was doing something in my playhouse, going in and out of the house, transferring my dolls and toys, and setting up the playhouse. I needed to go to the bathroom so bad, but I was so deeply into my project that I didn't want to take the time out to relieve myself. I somehow have not changed much in that behavior, for I still find myself at times feeling very uncomfortable while trying to finish a project, but I know, because I've made the conscious choice to do so, that if I take a break and use the bathroom, I do have a better time and I'm more relaxed and can actually think better and do a better job. People are so funny. And I ask and have such odd quirks. What do I have here? Oh, okay, that's it.
All right.
We went on to another one.
All right. Well, I want to thank and commend everyone for being able to be interchanging and be able to be open and say some of the stuff out loud. And you know, that doesn't mean that if you come back again that you have to do that some more. But I'm, you know, happy that it could happen this morning. And then we've got to close here in a second in an official way. We may not even have the minute for me to say. I'll just say, turn off the tape. And then, having said that...
Wait a minute, turn it off a long time.
Oh yeah, next time, turn off the tape before we start reading.
That's right, that's right. And we can have that destroyed, actually, if you want to. Just a couple of quickie things, and then you've got lunch to go eat, and so on and so on. We do need to be kind of faithful to the, you know, but there's nobody coming in here. We'll just have a couple of minutes here, maybe kind of do a quickie. Wrap up. I'll stay around for about 5 minutes, and there's some books sitting here. Just, you know, you can look at them, and these books may come back next time, or they may not. There may be other books or no books. But it's just to kind of, it may be people you haven't heard of, or, you know, whatever, if you want to kind of take down titles and names, might be a good use of your time. And if not, that's great too. If you want to talk to somebody else, that's good. If you want to interchange with me, that's fine. So on. Each of our sessions is supposed to be self-contained, and then it's also supposed to be connected to the next session. Okay, and so there'll be maybe you here, but maybe not you, and then there'll be other people who will come in, as, you know, so on. What can happen next? Well, you know very well what can happen next. You've already done warm up, right, and began to do some fix-up. Okay, now fix-up can take one whole hell of a lot of time and energy and, you know, know, interest, and we could have long discussions about, you know, whether or not we want to trust things as sort of creative energy pouring onto the page, never to be touched or twiddled with because it's sacred, or whether or not there's something to be said for being sort of generous in the activity of changing, refining, you know, redrafting, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I just said some stuff. I heard myself say it. I saw my shoulder go over it. It felt, you know, so you can, you're guessing already that I'm kind of leaning toward the other, you know, that camp is that, it, you know, we've got some stuff from which very interesting things could be played with. If you want to haul that stuff back in, if you come back, I'm not assuming you will, but if you do come back and you want to haul that stuff in, and then, you know, if there's somebody else here, or if you see somebody from this group, I would encourage you to grab them, you know, at the ARC or, you know, whenever, and say, do you mind hearing this again? Can I read the way it was? And, you know, et cetera. Do that kind of interchange, please. You know, get creative about how to work it, you know, how to work it, because right now we're working. That's why they call the staff the writers work. So, you know, work in those ways that seem plausible and, you know, good for you. You probably already connected with some people in here that you kind of feel like, well, maybe I would want to show them something, maybe I wouldn't, and yada, 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 blah, yada. Do you have any remarks or anybody got a good closing thing before I read one sentence?
I've been working with the artist way of Julie Cameron, and I did it once last year. I got 9 months into it, and so now I'm into the seventh, or 9 months, 9 weeks. Now I'm into the seventh week of trying it again. Mm-hmm. But the morning pages that she recommends have just been marvelous, and the first time through it was a little challenging, but this time I just find that I get to that point of flow in it. And it's so easy to just kind of let the pen go. And,
what's it called?
It's called The Artist's Way, Artist's Way, Julia Cameron. So I'm even amazed that I'm in a creative writing class now. What, you know, compared to a year, 2 years ago, I would probably not have considered it. But it's just, it's been a marvelous thing.
I understand that that's a book that many people, you know, get a lot from. I haven't had any experience with it myself, but almost always when I do something like this, there's somebody in there who's, you know, that's really working for me. You have to open it up and unlock and that kind of stuff. So she's commending it, and I'm saying my experience is that.